Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
What's going on? I know that I've been insane lately. I don't. What did we? We did a show last week, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Okay, I don't even remember. I'm like, what did we do last week? I don't even know what's going on. Where am I? What is my name? Oh God, guys, I've been traveling for like over a week. It's been insane. So good times though, good stuff. Met a lot of cool people, a lot of crazy hunts, all that good type of thing going on there. But guys, you tuned in because this is an extra special version of the Gorgo Variety Hour. Okay, last week was all right. We were at Spirit Fest. We had some good times, but no. It's this week, guys. And this week is special because why? It's the birthday extravaganza show.
Yay!
Put your helmets on, kids. I have my helmet on right now. So, guys, the reason for this birthday extravaganza, it's not just because we like the word birthday. It's not because we're, like, celebrating some infamous person's birthday. Oh, wait, we are. We're celebrating Gore Girl and Techie Ed's date of birth. Yay! That's right, guys, all you crazy cats out there and you scary spooksters. We were actually produced forth on this planet by Satan himself many years ago. Shed a tear.
Yes. Dear old daddy.
I was just going to say dad. Oh. Papa, we miss you. I remember him bouncing me on his pitchfork. I love you, dad. Well, that could be taken the wrong context. Wait a second. Wow, and Gore Girl does Satan. Well, whatever, you know. Goes around, comes around, I guess. Anyway, no, guys, really, August 16th was Gore Girl's birthday. That was my birthday. And so that was basically last week. Then Techie Ed's birthday is next week. So come on, guys. We got the nice in-the-middle thing going here. So we got this birthday extravaganza for you. So, yeah, you guessed it. It's going to be birthday themed. Yay! Our fans are so smart. I love them. So they're like, oh, my God, why do we listen to them? Because we're funny. So, and we provide you with information. I mean, how many times have we come up with information? Like, look at, we had that fan call in and tell us about the monkeys that, I almost said something else, about the monkeys that steal people's cars and steal things out of the cars in Japan. How crazy is that? And how would you have known that if you had not listened to GG Hour? That's right,
exactly.
People. That's right. We put some good stuff out there for you. We keep you entertained and we keep you stimulated in more ways than one. So good times. As we're sitting here, like, stroking our mics right now. Oh, God. So it was a crazy week, right? We've only got an hour show. I wish we had, like, a 16-hour show, because really the stuff that we have to talk about, it cannot be packed into an hour. But, you know, we're going to try. I usually ramble, you know, I'll just have to up the speed of the rambling. You may not understand a word I say, but that's okay. It's the point that I got it all in. So, I see we have callers online, good stuff, people calling in to hear the show, good things like that. I know that our good old friends Blog Talk kind of drop the ball from time to time on tech stuff, but that's okay. We love you anyway.
Not me.
Techie Ed hates you, but that's okay. Unless you're a 78-year-old man, but
that's okay.
We don't know that yet. I'm not opposed. Oh, my God. That was great. So, wow, we were in Joplin, Missouri last weekend. That was a whole thing. It was like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing. We went out there for Spirit Fest. Very cool. We talked about it last week, so I'm not going to really talk about it. Then we ended up, my business manager and I, ended up getting on a plane Sunday night and heading out to Atlanta. Got back the end of this week, so we were out in Atlanta all week. We had some business meetings and stuff. But basically, I do not go to a new city and not do anything. I don't go to a city and just sit by the pool. I can do that at home, okay? I can sit by the pool, play tennis, whatever. I don't go to a different city and be like, I'm going to hang out at the hotel and watch TV. Okay, I do that when I get off the plane because I'm tired as hell and I want to sit down. But I'm sorry, I'm looking for the haunts. I'm looking for, you know, the history of the cities. I'm looking for paranormal things. Whatever you got, hit it to me. So, of course, I basically walked all over Atlanta, Georgia. I basically hit everything there was, every spook, every sight, every freak and crackhead and whatever. We all sang Kumbaya in the streets. It was great. It was good times. So, or in this case, we sang to Daddy Satan. I don't know. Whatever. But, oh, God, it was crazy. We actually, my business manager, like, has threatened my life on this several times. But I'm going to tell the story again because it was funny. And I don't care what she says because it was funny. So she already threatened she's going to maim me. But that's okay. I don't care. Whatever. I got to tell you. All right. I don't know if I told you guys this, but I went on the Segway ghost tour, right? I was talking about this in Ghostman Demon Hunter earlier. But I did the Segway ghost tour. Okay, and you know the Segways, right? The little human transporters. They got, like, the two wheels, whatever. Okay, well, besides wearing helmets, I mean, you have to wear helmets when you do them, which is funny because I wear a helmet anyway, so it didn't really differ from my day-to-day activities. But we did a ghost tour. So we get on these Segways. You had to, like, practice using them for, like, 45 minutes. These things are cool. I mean, you see people on them, you're like, oh, they're dorks. Ha, ha, ha. Way to get on these things. They're fun as hell. I'm, like, driving around, like, whoa! Like, this is awesome. It was great. I loved it. It was absolutely fun. So it was totally cool. It was way better to see a city. I mean, here we are in Atlanta. It's beautiful weather. I mean, absolute gorgeous southern city. You know, the breeze was nice. It was at night. You're hunting ghosts. What better way? You know, you don't want to be in a bus or in a car and walking. You get tired. Man, hop on one of these things. That was awesome. Oh, my God. It was totally cool. So anyway, I'm like debating if I should mention what my business manager did because she'll kill me. I did talk about it on Ghostman Demon Hunter. So I suppose I'll cut her some slack since she does look after my best interests as Gore Girl and I don't want her to, like, I don't know, massacre me or, like, I don't know, shank me and take my ideas. I don't know. Whatever she does, I don't know. What is her purpose? I don't know. Sex slave?
Flesh.
Sex slave, eat flesh. No, my business manager rocks. She's very cool. Love you. So, anyway, she if you want to hear what she did, you're going to have to tune in to Ghostman Demon Hunter, catch the archive. Very cool. I also reviewed mirrors, so check that out, ghostanddemon.com. Anyway, so we did this whole thing, right? Well, what ends up happening is, you know, there was a situation, so the tour guide had to leave us there, me and my business manager. And we're like, on the steps of the Atlanta Public Library, right? Like freaking 11 o'clock at night, okay? She comes back to get us. It was totally worth it because she took the rest of the tour back because we were done with the tour when this happened anyway. Took the rest of the tour back, comes back to get us. And she was like, I don't really tell people these stories, but I'll tell you guys. So we got like extra ghost stories and extra time. It was totally cool. She's like, yeah, this girl was massacred right here. And yeah, this girl lost her head. And oh, yeah, like five people died right here. I don't usually tell people. It's kind of gruesome, but I'll tell you guys. So I'm like, yeah, woo! That's like we went to, like, Coke, the Coke factory. Okay, Coke was basically invented in Atlanta, Georgia. And I have to tell you, Techie Ed, because I totally thought of you when I heard this. Okay, Atlanta, first off, I have to explain this to people because you're going to be frightened when you go down there, especially if you're a Pepsi drinker, which if you are, I'm going to shoot you, but that's okay. The world of Coke is down there. It was invented down there. We all know that Coca-Cola was the first actual soda, like Coke product. So, and Pepsi and all the rest of them came after. But anyway, it was invented here. So the whole city is Coke-ified. All you see, like you go to a store, you basically cannot buy Pepsi in Atlanta. Yes. All you buy is Coke. Seriously, it's Coke or Coke products. That's it. You go to the World of Coke, it's a museum of Coke. The ads everywhere are for Coke. There's giant neon signs for Coke. Okay? You go on any tour, you talk to anybody, oh, yeah, Coke. And you're like, what? I was asking you where the bathroom is. What are you talking about? Coke. So, they're insane with the Coca-Cola, but it's hysterical. So anyway, I'm on this thing, right? I'm talking our girl. This is on our Segway tour. We're talking about something that happened across the street, and behind us is we're in downtown Atlanta, so it's the giant SunTrust Bank, right? It was the giant one. And she goes, oh, just a piece of random knowledge. She's like, behind you is the SunTrust thing? Well, where you're standing right now in an underground vault, because I guess they have vaults that go underground and out under the street. It said, right where we're standing right now just happens to be the secret vault where the original recipe that John, I think his name's Pendleton or something, he was the pharmacist that actually wrote out the original recipe of Coke and invented it. The original handwritten recipe is locked in a vault down there. And, like, no one's allowed to look at it. It's, like, top secret. You know, it's, like, 100 years old, coded and everything. It's crazy. And, like, the first thing that popped in my head was not, oh, that's cool, a piece of history. No, the first thing was, dude, Techie Yet and I could, like, break in right here and take it. Just for no reason. I mean, I wouldn't want to do anything with it. I would just want to look at it, and then I'd put it back. So it'd be pointless. It would be absolutely pointless for us to break in. But it would be the thrill of breaking in.
Because it'd be explosion.
Exactly. We'd be digging. I could just little construction hands on, digging in the whole sidewalk. Nothing to see here, folks. We're fixing stuff.
We're fixing the sewers. Yes,
yes.
That ought to work.
But the sewers are over there. No. It's
right here.
Don't you see them? Quick, dig faster. So, I mean, that'd be the only reason I would want is just to look at it because I think it'd be cool. And, of course, it's top secret because no one knows the actual recipe of Coke. That's their blood. That's their lifeline. That's how they made money. So, I don't know. But it's pretty cool. And then so I go to the World Coke, right? Because, I mean, you had to do the touristy thing, okay? I do all the ghost stuff. Gore Girl gets her – I mean, I'm serious. I go to these cities. I'm serious when I get there, man. I'm dead serious about getting in there, seeing some crazy stuff, seeing stuff that no one ever gets to see about a city, the ghost stuff, crazy places. Like, you know, in Chicago, how many people know where to go to hit one of Al Capone's smuggling centers? They go to Sears Tower. If they're looking for ghosts, they check out Resurrection Mary or Bachelor's Grove. They don't know, like, little – I mean, I go for the little crazy stuff. You know, the people are like, oh, my God, that is so awesome. How'd you find that? So – but I always like to do one or two totally kitschy tourist things. So I'm like, I have to go to the World of Coke. I am so freaking glad I did. I had a blast at the World of Coke. I am not afraid to admit this. Gorgel is not afraid to admit that she had a blast at the World of Coke. Because I get in there, right? They have a room. It's like Willy Wonka, man.
Oh,
it's crazy. They have a room with – they have Coke products around the world, right? So, like, stuff that's in Asia is not over here.
Yeah.
It's different taste. You have a room that's the tasting room. You could taste products from all over the world.
Oh, my God.
I was drinking stuff that they drink in, like, South America. Drinking stuff they drink in, like, Africa, like, South Africa. I'm like, oh, my God, this is good. And one thing I have assessed, we Americans have it really, really good because the crap they drink out there has no taste. There are, like, maybe five out of the, I don't know, probably tasted, like, 85 different things. Out of the 85, there was five that I was actually like, wow, that's actually good. The rest of them, I was like, like, seriously. I felt like I was at, like, some Return of Living Dead reunion tour or something. Like, you know, just choking. It was horrible. They have no taste, especially Britain. God, I knew those people were dry, but God. But the best stuff, I'm telling you hands down, the best stuff was there was two things from South Africa, and there was, like, I think three things from Asia that were awesome. And I was like, oh, my God, this is great. Then there's stuff, there's flavors of Fanta that should not be made. It's like Harry Potter. It's like Bernie Bot's every flavored bean. There's, like, grass-flavored, like, cola in Mexico. I'm like, guys, got a problem down there. But and I'm thinking to myself, here I am, like, disgusted by this stuff. But think of these people that, like, this is a bestseller down there. I'm like, oh, God, it's horrible. I would not survive. So it was awesome, though. That was, like, totally worth it. But I don't know. We saw just so many crazy things. We went to historic Oakland Cemetery, which I totally have to tell people about this. I'm going to add it to my presentations I do at conventions. But there's some interesting facts. I mean, I love to learn history, love to learn interesting facts, especially ghost root things. Totally for me, being in the paranormal, it's more than ghost hunting. I know some people, they have different reasons for why they ghost hunt. Everybody does. But the base core reason why I do it is the history, finding out why, you know, the building, what happened here, you know, just what happened in 1898. That to me is the exciting part. So I love picking up new facts, but I got to tell you, because I thought this was cool. And this once again made me think of you and that you would get a kick out of knowing this. Okay, Oakland Cemetery is the historic cemetery in Atlanta, Georgia. And during the Civil War, that was like the only cemetery or whatever. Well, it was like it shifted hands. One minute the Union had it, next minute Confederate. Well, when it was Confederate, on the outside of the cemetery were all the hospital tents because Atlanta was a major train hub. So they would send, the Confederate Army would send all their wounded and dead to Atlanta, to these tents. Well, they didn't really have sophisticated equipment, obviously. They didn't have, you know, oh, my God, awesome. Oh, my God. Okay, we're okay. We're fine. As long as I don't get electrocuted, I'm good. I'm like, oh, my God, that could suck really bad. We just spilled a little water. But anyway, so I was like, oh, my God, apparently I'm not supposed to talk about this. It's a conspiracy. It was the Coke thing. They're coming after me now. Trying to shoot. What's this red dot on me? No. Anyway, yeah, because I'm drinking water and it's not their water. So, anyway, they had these tents set up, right? And they'd ship their dead and their wounded there. Well, they didn't have all the sophisticated equipment or medical, you know, expertise. The only technical drug they had concoctions and things, but the real drug they had was morphine. So that's the only thing they could really do, especially, you know, to some of the prisoners, yeah, well, those two, some of the Confederates that, you know, I mean, were just beyond repair. They didn't know what to do. They just shot them up with morphine all the time to keep the moans down. Well, did you know that the VA was established because of that?
Really?
The VA was established right after the Civil War for the simple fact that all the soldiers after the Civil War ended were morphine addicts. So the VA was established to hand out morphine. They basically said, what are we going to do? So let's keep them hopped up on it. So the VA we know today was established because of morphine addicts from the Civil War.
That is kind of cool.
I was like, hey, wow, that's interesting. But, yeah, we totally hit Oakland Cemetery. I mean, Margaret Mitchell, who'd been Gone with the Wind, was there. So many odd graves. I'm going to throw some pics up on my MySpace so you could check those out. I'll probably do it later this week. So check it out, myspace.com/RebelQueenS. That will be where you will see all cool pics. I'll put some on the show. It'll be good, whatever. So, anyway, let's get on with this, all right? Because we got tons to talk about. We got a little time to talk about it. And you know how we are. We might just even blow through the commercial break. I'd be like, oh, we don't need a commercial. Anyway, my producers are like, no, you have to have a commercial. F you. We don't need one. So, anyway, I have to talk about this because, being a movie critic, for Ghost Man Demon Hunter show, being in the entertainment industry for years, this has kind of always riled me. For some reason, the last week, I was totally thinking I had to do this. I was like, I have to do this. Well, the last couple shows we had, we really didn't have anything set up, and it was kind of like whatever. So I decided this week will be the week that I have to do this. All right, guys. You know how David Letterman has all his top 10 lists and jazz, and he does it all, you know, on his late night show. It's only fitting that we present Gore Girl's top 10 things you should be gutted and grilled for doing in a movie theater. Da-da-da! I wish we had some, like, Letterman music, but I don't know, we'd probably get killed for that, too. So we have Coke snipers outside right now. They're trying to protect the recipe. So anyway, number 10, and these are things that irk me, okay? I would probably get more pissed off as we go down the list, all right? Number 10, leaving your trash laying around. People, I know I hear the same old crap. That's why they got jobs, to clean up our stuff. When you're a pig, no, they don't have a job to clean up swine, okay? If you leave like a cup, okay. okay, that's fine. But when you leave crap all over the place, you got napkins hanging out, you got cups laying all over the floor, what is that? No, no, clean up. You know, it's the movie theater, okay? I want to come. I don't want to sit in glum, okay? Put the crap in a garbage can, all right? Don't make me come after you. Number 9, standing in front of people who are trying to watch the credits, okay? That's great. You're getting up to leave, you know, you might want to pause. Don't stand up in front of people who are clearly watching the screen. Just stand there and go, hey, asshole, we going to go get some ribs? Well, I don't know. What'd you think about that? Did you see that movie? Yeah, we just watched it. Get the hell out of my way. Get out of here. I will gut you and grill you. You know, there's people that try to watch credits, okay? And I am one of them. I do it for technical reasons. I do it for critical reasons. Also, I do it for a very, critical reason is ever since I was a kid, and I talk about this all the time, I always watch credits of every movie because you never know what slips in at the end. I was a kid and I learned this lesson. I used to watch movies all the time, but, well, I'm a kid, you know, I don't watch credits. As soon as it's over, you know, you pop it out or you change the TV station. I was watching, I was sitting there one day, I don't even know what it was. I was probably like 8 years old. I'm watching Masters of the Universe, you know, with Dolph Lundgren. Great movie, so kitschy, crazy. I'm watching it, the credits are rolling, I'm not getting up, you know, it's on TV, I don't care. All of a sudden, at the very end, Skeletor pops up and says something. And I just remember sitting there with my mouth open like, that was so awesome. Ever since that day, since I was 8, I watched the credits to every single movie. And I kid you not, all these people that get up, you would be surprised how many scenes are at the end of movies. I mean, Marvel does it all the time, but people are hip to that now. You don't even know how many movies do it. And I'm like, people. So that's cool if you get up and you're leaving the theater, but get out of my way, all right? Just get out of my way. So anyway, well, is that the right time? Wow. We have plenty of time.
Yeah.
All right, number 8, chewing like a horse. What is with this? Okay, I don't mind. You have to eat. That's fine. You haven't gotten to eat before you see the movie. You get some snacks. It's all good. I understand. But what's with these people that chew? They have like sonic chewing. It's like a slow part in the movie where like the dialogue is critical. Like you need to hear what this guy's going to say because it will explain 17 scenes from now what's going on. So you're like trying to listen. And all you hear is, I'm going to tell you the secret password. What? What did he just, for fun, oh, get good! And I'm like, I turn around, I'm like, where did that come from? I will get up, and I will put my foot so far up your ass, it's not even going to be funny. Like, it just jilts me, guys. And I'm serious about the movies, man. This is my entertainment. This is my fun time. I will not hesitate to beat the crap out of you. If I have to beat the crap out of you and miss my movie, oh, you're going to pay. You're going to pay. It's like the George Thorogood thing. If I had to stop and leave seeing George Thorogood to beat that guy, oh, he was dying. He was dying that night. I was going away in handcuffs. Okay, number 7 reason why you should be gutted and grilled in a movie theater, shaking your snack bags, boxes, and cups. What's those people? I don't get it. It's like a ticking in my head. What's with those people that they have like, a couple like Raisinets or something in their box.
Yeah, see how many.
Yeah, it's a cardboard box and they go and shake it. And I'm like, it's the same concept as chewing like a horse. You're trying to listen to the movie and you're picking up critical dialogue and you hear some insane, you know, schmuck down the road going, I think I got another skittle in there. Well, you better shake it. You might have another one. Oh my God, I will come down there. I will come down there. Okay. Number 6, repeatedly kicking the seats in front of you, and I just found out that Techie Ed does this, so I'm going to beat his ass after the show.
I would never kick your seat.
Oh, good. All right, then we don't have a problem.
People do
Oh, good. People are doing this stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, what's with the kicking the seats? It's mostly kids that do this. Why? Okay, I put my feet up on a seat if no one's sitting in front of me, but if somebody's like within a 2 to 3 seat radius, you kick the seat, they're going to feel it. So have some respect, okay? That's what it comes down to, people. Respect. We don't have any nowadays. Okay, number 5, sucking your empty cup 50 more times just in case. Just in case you miss a tiny drop. There's a tiny drop clinging to your straw, but you have to get it. So we're going to suck out it 50 more times, and we're going to listen to the sucking sound, and we're going to listen to it in this giant theater, which amplifies the noise. same principle as shaking the snack boxes or chewing like a horse. Please, people.
I need to get that little extra ice that evaporated.
There's a little piece of ice in here. I better suck on it till it's dry. I will kill you. I will kill you where you stand. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Number four, assuming that you talking is actually a whisper. How many times do you hear this? Somebody, I understand because I turn over to my counterparts that I'm watching the movie with and I'll whisper something, but it's a whisper. And I don't carry on a 16-hour conversation. I say one or two lines, boom, we laugh, it's done. What's with these people that go, it's real quiet, watching the movie, and they go, hey, did you see that?
That was cool.
That was like Uncle Lester. What? And I'm listening to this person's life story. Did I tell you what I did today at the store? Shut up. I paid money. I want to watch the movie. It's like, seriously, this is my entertainment, guys. This is what I get a kick out of. This is what fuels me. Gore Girl is a movie-oriented person. And I will movie-orient your ass if you keep bugging me. Okay, number three. I'm just pinpoint several people bringing screaming or jittering kids to the theater. Some kids are cool. If you know that the movie is age-appropriate to your child, that's awesome. Bring them. It's good times. They have fun. It's all that good jazz. But what about these people that bring kids that the movie is clearly not for? Like, it's like Jason X, and you bring, like, a two-year-old. Here, honey, watch the machete slice his brain. And the kid is screaming and, like, crying wildly. And they're like, ha, 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 he's just scared. No, you just traumatize your child. I don't care. I'm not here to parent people. I'm not here to tell you how to be a good parent or whatever. I wouldn't know. But seriously, you can't tell if your kid's going to fidget and scream and, like, distract everybody in the theater. Like, come on. Really? Really? Have some respect. That's what we come down to, that respect thing. I know it's hard. It's hard for people to know. It's hard for people to do. And it really is. It's simple. We should have a 10-step program for how to be respectful. I think we should institute that. So, yeah, Gore Girl's nuts. Me and Taki Yet are nuts. We're crazy. We do insane things. We blow things up. But, dude, when it comes time to have respect, we do, all right? Number two, talking on your phone during the movie. People think this doesn't happen anymore. Oh, but I've seen it. When I went to see The Ring years and years and years ago, a guy sat all the way through the movie on the phone. He was like, so what you doing right now? Yeah? I'm like, dude, if you're going to date this person, bring them to The Ring, all right? Talk to him after. Don't talk to him on the phone. Oh, God. But here we go, guys. My number one reason why you should be gutted and grilled for doing this in a movie theater, using your phone to text during a movie. What is wrong with you? This infuriates me. This is the number one thing I cannot stand. I love to text message, but guys, I don't do it in a dark theater. Because you know what? People, do they not realize it's dark in there? It is completely dark in there, guys. The second you open your phone up, it is like a spotlight. It lights up the whole theater. And no matter how many times you try to stare at the screen and ignore it, the white light is so piercing, it like literally stays in your vision. It stays in your contact. What is wrong with you people? Do they not realize? They're, my phone is so dull. It is not bright. You're in a dark theater. Get over it. Put the phone away. I'm going to get everybody's number. I need to get, like, these companies get the people's numbers and they, you know, spam them and call them with all this crap. I need to get everybody in America's number. And, you know, when this person's sitting there, we're going to do a little recon, you know, work. We're going to get the satellites beaming in. Every time somebody text messages, I want their name and their number, and I'm going to call them during the movie and be like, I see you. I am three rows behind you. You better put that away because I'm here and I've got the Gore Girl towel. I will snap your head right off. I'll do it. I swear to God, don't make me. So I don't know, people. That is Gore Girl's top 10 things that will happen to get you gutted and grilled.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, now I'm getting hungry. Well, I get you a plenty of car guy because I'm about to, bust America out. Yeah, I bust Hollywood out. That's what Gore Girl's known for, is busting the guts out of Hollywood. Don't make me bust the guts out of you know, the fan, the audience. Don't make me do it, people, because I will. I'm not opposed, like Techie yet. So anyway, what do we got? We got a perfect 30 minutes. I say screw the commercial tonight.
Wait a minute. Yeah, we're...
The producers are shaking their head. I'm like, you can't do anything. Yeah, they can't do anything because we're here and they're there. It would take them far too long to come out from behind the glass. And by that time, we would have barricaded the door. Jackie had barricaded the door. So anyway, he actually gets up. So anyway, guys, it's the birthday extravaganza. I got some great birthday facts for you guys. Being as our birthdays are in the month of August, all right, first of all, I want to talk to you guys about exactly what the month of August, you know what it is, get a little fact for you. All right, obviously the month of August was named after Augustus, you know, Julius Caesar had July, Augustus got August. What was really interesting that I found out, they changed the entire calendar because of this, okay? What the original calendar was each month alternated. It was 30, 31, 30, 31, all the way down. July had 31 days. Well, if you followed that train of thought, August would get 30 days. They felt that Emperor Augustus should not be saddled with an inferior month. So they added August as 31 days to compete with July for Julius Caesar. Well, they took that day from February. So February originally had 29 anyway. They took another day off, so that's why February's 28, because Augustus wanted it for August. Okay, but I thought this was really cool because, all right, I just told you about that, about taking it from February. Since the months, you know, alternated between 30 and 31 days, adding the extra day to August meant that July, August, and September would all have 31 days. So to avoid this three long months in a row, the lengths of the last 4 months were switched around, giving us 30 days in September, April, June, and November.
Huh.
I mean, it was insane. So think about this. Just because the people and the Senate and everything did not want Emperor Augustus to feel inferior about his month, they took a day off February and completely changed the calendar as we know it. Isn't that crazy? That's funny.
Go Augustus.
I know. I'm like all happy.
I'm proud now to be born in this month.
I know. I was like, I was happy to be a Leo, and I was happy to be all loyal and fierce and whatever. I am equally happy now because we took a day. And we refused to be inferior. So we took another day. That's awesome. We just conquered the calendar, and we changed the whole calendar. We said it should be changed around this anyway. We're like, you know, our thing is the sun. That's the center of us, so we should be. Should be changed around those. But the Wiccan beliefs for August, and actually I know Techie Ed has some stuff to say about this. They have a little thing going on for the month of August called Lammas. It's the celebration of harvest, and it sort of begins what's called the chase of Luke. Luke is the Celtic sun god, and he grows within the crops, which, you know, basically living within the gold fields. That's kind of their philosophy. And this is the time of the first harvest. So at the celebration, we sort of give thanks to the earth for its bounty and beauty. Bounty and beauty. I'm still wearing a helmet from my Segway tour. So anyway, basically, you know, this is the harvest we pull to eat through the upcoming winter. You know, and then you honor the god Luke through games and sports. Is that or could that be why we play Olympics in August? That could be. So so anybody that wants to rip on Wicca, I put that to you, the history right there. So, you know, you play games, sports to celebrate the strength and good health. Then, obviously, the grain goddesses Demeter and Ceres were also honored. It's basically a time to harvest the dreams planted earlier in the year. So August holds, like, a sacred thing to not only Wiccans, but you know, mythology and history and, you know, the peoples, ancient peoples of that time, how they lived their lives. So, yeah, August rocks, pretty much, yeah.
That's what I'm getting.
That's what I'm getting, right? All right, of course, it would not be a thing if Gore Girl didn't talk about birthday horror movies, okay? Everybody knows there's, and I'm not going to segue, this is not like our classic movie corner. It's a birthday show, so I'm just throwing it in there. But obviously, there's a lot of horror movies that have birthday themes in them. There are two especially that everybody pops in everybody's head whenever you say a movie about birthday horror. Everyone's like, oh, could you be talking about Happy Birthday to Me from 1981? That's the number one movie people talk about with Do Right to talk about it. It was directed by J. Lee Thompson, stars Melissa Sue Anderson, who is Mary Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie, which is why the movie got a lot of attention in the first place and why it still does. But basically the plot is Melissa Sue Anderson plays Virginia, and they have this whole little tagline thing for it, like, you know, she belongs to a clique, the best students at a private school, but before her 18th birthday, a grueling set of murders take place, and her friends are the ones who are falling prey. Could it be her? She suffers from blackouts due to a freak accident 1 year earlier. We soon will learn the truth behind her accident and what is going on. Bah, bah, bah. That's like the whole thing that they have slapped up everywhere for the movie on the box and all sorts of crap. But I don't know if anybody's ever seen this movie. You need to see this. This is like the ultimate birthday horror movie. I love this movie, okay? There's a lot of people who are like, oh, no, no. Yeah, screw you, okay? Trust me. This is Gore Girl talking. I do not, you know, sway people in the wrong direction when it comes to movies. Okay, this movie was awesome because it was more focused on plot and story than any of the typical slasher flicks of the era, like Friday 13th, Prom Night, Terror Train, all that stuff. It weaves insanity and tension throughout the thing and keeps you wondering what the hell is going on. I'm serious, guys. There was rumors on set that, you know, they were trying to figure out a twist, plot twist. So there were so many rewrites to the movie and this and that, and that's why it came out the way it did. But it was just a well-written script, guys. This guy actually thought things through. They, you know, took their time. They directed it well. It was slow paced. This is not one of those movies. It's not a Friday 13th. There's just blood and random guts everywhere. There's actual build up in parts. There's actual story. And the ending, it's not a climatic build up. It's just sort of a, okay, here you go. And you're like, oh, crap. I didn't see that coming. It is a well-written story, well-structured, well-acted. You would think Little House on the Prairie, you know, you're like, oh, she's in a horror movie. Well, it's got to be crappy. No, she did a great job. It was awesome, guys. The answer seems obvious about who's doing the killings. You know, you're led in this direction. You're like, well, duh, it has to be this. But then you question if it could be so blatant. I mean, could it really possibly be so obvious? And then you find out that it's a little bit more tricky than you were suspecting. So I seriously, guys, I thoroughly enjoyed this film when I first saw it, and I can't believe that it's not more cult fodder than it actually is. This is an awesome film. And actually, there is a death by Shish Kebab.
Yes.
Which people still talk about. People still talk about. No, this is a great film. It was well acted, well constructed, but it's slow paced, guys. So if you're not into the psychological horror, it does have blood and guts. This is not like, you know, a slasher film that, you know, they were sparingly using, you know, their little blood vial. No. This was tons of blood and guts. Great, some decent special effects. Not like Savini grade or anything, but some great stuff. And, you know, really, I mean, you need to see it. You need to check it out. It should at least, you know, if you don't purchase it or you don't find it thrilling, should at least check it out because it is a classic movie. And like I said, it's a cult classic. But I'm surprised it doesn't have more of a cult fan base than it does. So I don't know. And I hate to tell you this, guys, but of course it's being remade as I speak. So, gee, what else is... I mean, we just did a show a few weeks ago about remakes. What isn't being remade? Piranha's being remade in 3D, for God's sakes. So I don't know. Then, of course, there's the other one from 81 as well, although it was the release time was a little bit later. It's called Bloody Birthday. It was directed by Ed Hunt, starred Lori Loughlin, and then TV stars Susan Strasberg and Jose Ferrer. And, I mean, basically, I'll give you the plot, guys. You can figure this out as you go. But three babies are born during the solar eclipse. So years later, these kids, you know, they're turning 10. They go on this violent killing spree, right? And they're offing, like, horny teenagers, school teachers, cops, you know, the typical standard fare of things that would get off. And it's awesome because it kind of, you know, it's kind of disturbing to see these little kids shooting and maiming and stabbing and strangling their victims. I mean, it's kind of like, you're kind of like, oh, interesting. I don't want to babysit now. But my views on this movie, guys, is I don't like it as much as Happy Birthday to Me. I don't think it's as well done. It really is not as well done. A lot of people say they don't like this movie, but they can at least stand to watch it. I don't know. To me, if it didn't have the killings, I don't know. I find it hard to get through anyway. It's enjoyable. It's campy. I don't know. There's certain scenes with the killer kitties that are entertaining, but if you haven't seen it, I say you should just check it out for that feeling that only 80s slasher flicks can inspire, guys. I mean, sure, it's your blood, guts, and gore. You got killer kitties. It's a little campy. I say that should be enough to give it a one-time view, but nothing spectacular. So I have to say, though, both of those came out in 81. So what was 81, like the year for most maniacal and violent birthdays or something?
It would appear that way.
Oh, my God. My birthday's in 81. I hate life. It's like making horror movies. Okay, then. So I'm like, what? But like I said, guys, there's tons of other horror movies that have something related to birthdays in them. I mean, you all know this. Ranging from The Omen, you know, his birthday spawned, you know, the apocalypse. You know, it set up the biblical phrases that they were talking about. And plus, you know, the coolest scene in the movie is when his nurse lady hangs herself. It's at his birthday party. So, I mean, you know, tons of stuff. April Fool's Day, you know, the girl basically has a murder mystery weekend for her birthday. I mean, come on. And I mean, like I said, it comes from movies like that. There's so many films that have birthday themes in them. But Happy Birthday to Me and Bloody Birthday are really the only two that are like, I don't know, that people tend to think about. And really, I'd have to say it's really Happy Birthday to Me. That is like the epitome of birthday movies, guys, because it's just, it's nuts. And I like it. I don't care. A lot of people don't like it because it's slow, but, you know, those are mostly the guys that just like to watch explosions and TNA and think Vin Diesel's a god. So, yeah, it's like, yeah, I know those people. But, you know, no one respects well-made films. They don't respect, you know, the films that build up slow, but they pay off because you're, like, watching crazy stuff happen, you know? So, I don't know. But, okay, I have to say this, guys. We know that horror movies, birthday themes, whatever, but the best birthday present in a horror movie, hands down, it's Andy Barclay's present in Child's Play. Because, come on, who wouldn't want a serial killer trapped in a doll body? Really? I want that for my birthday. There's people that still owe me birthday presents from last weekend. Yeah, listen to me. No, I'm just saying that. Don't listen to me. This is just trying to get them to get me this. I want a serial killer trapped in a doll body. So if you have not bought me anything, that's what you need to get me. And make it somebody kind of, you know, kind of fun, maybe artistic with their kills, something like that. It's like, I'm thinking.
I wonder if I should do this.
So, guys, all good. By the way, I want to actually thank everybody, thank all the fans who sent me stuff and sent me emails and left me comments and contacted me, contacted my manager. However you left me a birthday message, I want to thank you very much. I appreciate it so much that, you know, you took the time to wish Gore Girl a happy birthday. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Speaking of serial killers, of course, we're in the birthday extravaganza, so we have to talk about it. But, okay, two serial killers that are born in the month of August. Of course, we're proud of this. Everyone else is like, oh, my God, this is horrible. And we're like, yeah! Okay, obviously, well, one's a cult leader. We have Mr. David Koresh. Everybody kind of, maybe, sort of remembers him from the Waco incident. Huh?
Well, I remember Waco.
Yeah.
Never too young.
You're never too young to have a Waco flashback. I'm not opposed. So, damn, non-flashbacks are still getting to me. So, August 17th, 1959 is when Mr. David came along. He was actually named Vernon Wayne Howell. But anyway, everyone knows him.
The gnomes.
They're coming to get me. Actually, they are. But anyway, and they're in the form of Coke bottles. But I can't wait. If what happened in Atlanta goes through, these people are going to be laughing their ass off. They're going to be laughing their ass off. So, like, we're really plotting this now. Anyway, everyone knows him. No.
No.
Oh, my God. What is up with me today? I'm telling you guys, I was in Atlanta. It's Atlanta's fault. I cannot speak. I can't speak anyway. I don't know.
You have a run-in with a gnome?
I did. I'm freaked out, man. Can you tell? I'm freaking shaking. I can't handle it. That gnome. It's like that damn cartoon. You remember David and the Gnomes from the 80s? Oh, my God. David and the Gnomes is coming to get me.
Did they just gotta watch out for the gnomes with the guns.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna mess you up. What? What'd you say, little pixie man?
Or the gnomes that steal your beer.
Yes. Or the monkeys from Japan that steal your car. Whatever. I have to take a swig of water because apparently I need to wash the gnome out of my mouth. You all know him as the cult leader of the Branch Davidian religious sect. What did you say earlier that cracked me up? Christians that sacrifice people?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they actually did something when David was fighting to be the leader of his little cult in Waco. He actually, the other guy, they were having contests. Like, to see who was better and who should lead the cult. Their contests were actually trying to, like, wake the dead. And so, like, they actually dug up corpses and practiced on them. So, Yed goes,
yeah,
oh, well,
leave it to Christians. They'll try to raise the dead. And the Necromonicon is not evil.
Yeah, right? Jesus. Right? So, yeah, like, I don't know, organized religion's not evil at all. Nope.
Oh, of course.
So, everyone's like, and I hate Gore Girl. I don't care! You're probably the people who shake cups at movie theaters. So anyway, you all know that David ended up, they had a siege in Waco, and I thought it was funny that it was the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms that had that handled this. You figure it'd be cops or FBI. No, it was the alcohol and tobacco, and okay.
And, you know,
good time. Yeah, right.
They're drunk.
Okay. So they actually, you know, it ended in the burning of the ranch. We all remember seeing this. God, I was a kid and I remember seeing this on TV. And killed 53 adults, like 25 kids and 2 unborn infants in this fire. So we all know this. And somebody said, oh, is he the guy with the Kool-Aid? I was like, no, that was Jim Jones. See, isn't it sad that we all know our cult leaders and serial killers? We couldn't tell you who was vice president 10 years ago, but now we're like, oh, yeah, Jim Jones with the Kool-Aid. Yeah, killed everybody. It just shows you how interesting we are with our society nowadays. Then, of course, my man, Ed Gein, was born on August 27th, close to your birthday, actually. What's today? Is today the 27th? What? I have no idea what today is.
Let me consult the calendar.
Oh, we just missed it. Well, anyway, we'll blow out some candles for him and wear some lady skins. Guys, I'm so happy about this one. I know I'm excited. I'm so happy because everyone knows him. basically, he was a necrophiliac. He skinned his victims. He wore the skinnings. You know, just he made furniture out of them. You know, he was a cannibal. He decorated his home with body parts. You know, there was the whole mother thing. But, guys, I'm excited because, not so excited about him in general, but excited because of Ed, he spawned Psycho and Texas Chainsaw Massacre were loosely based off of him in his story. And, of course, obviously, Silence of the Lambs, you have Buffalo Bill. But, no, the two, like, two of our greatest tributes to the horror genre, you know, like, you had Hooper's Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 74, and then you had, you know, Psycho in 60. I mean, wow, Psycho is like the granddaddy of all horror films, and, you know, Hitchcock being a genius that he was, and these were loosely based off of Mr. Ed. So, I mean, and not the horse, guys, the serial killer. Although the horse might have been a serial killer, I'm not sure.
You never know.
But, yeah, you know how crazy they get. But seriously, guys, I mean, how cool is that we had two of our greatest horror films, two cinematic achievements based off of the serial killer? So I don't know. Is it kind of sadistic that I'm proud that he's in our
not,
birthday
not,
month?
Not at all.
I don't know.
We're just a sadistic and crazy.
But yeah, I mean, he used to, you know, exhume the bodies and do all sorts of things, and the stuff that you see in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like with the bone chairs and hanging. I mean, he did that stuff. So I'd imagine it'd be kind of. I know. I'd imagine it'd be kind of awkward to go to tea. I have an elbow in my anus, Mister. Oh, no, my man. I'm just dusting and stuff. Oh, okay. So I thought that was really cool. But there's some other notable August birthdays, guys. And I don't know, I just thought this was cool to give them some facts about stuff because, I mean, how many people know this stuff off the top of their head? Not many. So some notable August birthdays. We have Wes Craven, August 2nd, and Peter O'Toole. And then we had, like, August 5th, Joseph Merrick's birthday. Joseph Merrick was the Elephant Man, guys. So he was born August 5th, 1862. How cool is that? Then, of course, we had, like, Cecil B. DeMille. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. We had him August 12th. Alfred Hitchcock, the great man that he is, August 13th. Of course, for my business manager, we had Mae West, August 17th. God, what do we have? Roman Polanski, you know, we had him on August 18th. Then, of course, we had two awesome, awesome people on August 20th, Mr. Robert Plant, who I am absolutely in love with. Robert Plant, I love you, man, so I put you down, and H.P. Lovecraft, the horror author legend himself, who was actually born in 1890. We had, oh, my God, August 25th, we had Ivan the Terrible.
Yes.
How many people get that, you know? We had Ivan the Terrible, 1530. And we had Mr. Sir Sean Connery on there.
Woo-hoo.
See, can I say that, Mr. Sir Sean Connery?
You can call him whatever.
Or do I just call him Sir Sean Connery, or the man that every woman on earth wants to bang?
Even me.
Yeah, even Ed. So, I mean, come on. Whatever. He's not opposed. But Sean Connery was born August 25th, so we get that luxury. Then, you know, we had Pee Wee Herman August 27th. I thought that was horrific, so good times. And then, obviously, William Friedkin. Another man I truly respect. It was the film that got me into filmmaking, The Exorcist, August 29th. And then, of course, August 30th, Mary Shelley, who created Frankenstein, 1797. Good stuff. And then I have to give a big, 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 big shout out to Angus Scrimm, whose birthday is actually August 19th, 1926. Everybody knows Angus. He's the tall man from Phantasm. I'm not even going to get into Phantasm or how awesome it is because we only have 9 minutes. There's a couple other things I have to say. But, oh, my God, Angus Scrimm is amazing, guys. He played the tall man. Phantasm is such a cult classic. And I am going to review Phantasm on the show. We're going to have a Phantasm theme show one night. I'm going to get Reggie Bannister on and all that good stuff. But, no, seriously, I can't even explain how awesome Phantasm is. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. I remember watching it as a kid and just, oh, my God, so into it. Just it's awesome. It's incredible. And, I mean, I'm not even going to get into it. I'm going to save the Phantasm facts I have for you guys for our Phantasm show. So we'll just say hey to Angus Scrimm, who played the tall man. And very, very cool. Of course, something big that happened in 1590, August 18th, that's when we had the lost colony of Roanoke Island. I don't know how many people remember this. Stephen King had mentioned it numerous times in his miniseries Storm of the Century, but this is one of my favorite stories because, I'm very into history and paranormal, supernatural. But basically what happened, I'll give you the basic gist. It was the first English settlement in America. The first group had fled back to England. The second group was slaughtered by natives. Well, in 1587, there was 117 men, women, kids. They were brought to Roanoke to create the new settlement. Well, their governor was John White, and he decided he was going to go back to England to get supplies and to get things they needed to sort of survive and to go against, you know, things, the oppression that they were feeling or whatever. So he ended up getting stuck over in England for about 3 years because I believe it was the war that they had going on with Spain or whatever, but he got delayed for 3 years, ended up coming back 3 years later, ironically on the third birthday of his granddaughter, who was Virginia Dare. I don't know how many people remember her, but you read about her in history class. She was the first English child to be born on American soil. So he ends up coming back on her third birthday, and all the settlers had vanished. The entire settlement was completely abandoned. There was only two clues as to possibly what could have happened. There was the word Croatoan carved onto a post at the fort, and there was just the letter C-R-O carved into a tree nearby. That was it. So, I mean, there's a lot of theories what happened. I mean, 117 people just disappeared. Okay, granted, it wasn't overnight. There was 3 years that had gone by, but they could never find any of them. No bodies, no witnesses, no clues except for those two words. They had no idea. There's a possibility, I didn't know this at the time, but there apparently was an island, Croatoan Island. So they were thinking that the colonists may have fled there for some reason, but no one ever investigated. And I guess I don't know, people were saying it wasn't true. People are saying, I mean, there's so many theories that people have as to what happened. So I don't know. I always got a kick out of that, especially when Stephen King made so many references to it in Storm of the Century. You know, it was something you read about in history class, and it just, I mean, it really gets you, like, really what happened. Like, was it something, you know, nefarious? Was it, you know, I mean, it could have been anything. I mean, think of the thoughts that go through your head. You know, what if they were slaughtered? Dude, they just disappear? Was it something, like, otherworldly? Was it UFOs? Yeah, like, what was it? Did they just simply, like, move somewhere else? Did they go somewhere? Like, seriously, nobody knows to this day. It's like a mystery. How cool would it be to go back in time and to see what happened?
That would be cool.
That would be awesome. So, I don't know. That was cool. That happened August 18th, 1590. Of course, on my actual birthday, Gorgel's birthday of August 16th, we had some incredible stuff happen. Bela Lugosi, in 1956, had a heart attack in his home in L.A. Everybody knows him. He was the, you know, classic Count. He portrayed him in many stage adaptations and the later film adaptation of Dracula. When he was buried, actually his wife and son, basically made sure he died wearing his Dracula cape. So, I mean, how cool is that, guys? That's awesome. And now he was 73, and Bela Lugosi, to me, is one of the greatest, you know, early horror actors we had. And obviously, I'm a huge fan of the Universal Group, you know, Chaney and Karloff and Lugosi and, you know, Lanchester and Rains and all those guys. I mean, just fantastic. And ladies, sorry. Of course, August 16th, 1977, Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, died. So many things about Elvis, too, conspiracies, he's alive, he's not, aliens, you know, he had a heart attack, he blew his head off, God, there's so many things. He ended up having a heart attack brought on by long-term drug abuse. Everybody knows the story of Elvis. His body was buried in a local cemetery, thought he was going to get hijacked pretty much by people trying to keep it for ransom. Got moved to the Meditation Gardens in Graceland. Cool stuff. Also, we got four things. Well, actually, yeah, I'll throw in the other thing, but four things that happened on August 16th in history that I thought you guys might get a kick out of. August 16th, 1898, Edwin Prescott patented the first roller coaster. We love roller coasters here at the GG Studios. We thought we'd give him a shout out. August 16th, 1974, the Ramones have their concert debut. And, of course, CBGB, which, God, they should have fought for that place, man. That's like a historic landmark. August 16th, 1969, the Woodstock Rock Festival begins. Yes, good times, also in New York. And then, of course, the thing I found most humorous, of course we find strange things humorous at GG Hour. August 16th, 1920, Ray Chapman of the Indians is hit in the head by Yankees' Carl May's pitch. He dies the next day, which is the only recorded fatality in Major League Baseball.
The only one.
Of course, it happens at Gordo's birthday. That's hysterical, guys. I don't know what you think about that. But, wow, we just totally packed it in an hour, and I can't believe we did it. And we had a couple minutes to spare. That's awesome.
That is
totally awesome. Seriously, though, so much has happened in August throughout history. And, you know, so many things have happened to, you know, in every other month. There's so many historical things that have happened. Somebody could make, you know, an entire show about their birthday, you know, January, February, whatever. But we don't care. It's our birthday. So that's why we talked about our stuff. But, dude, guys, we talked about what? We talked about Atlanta. We talked about some crazy stuff. I gave some picks. This is a very factual show.
It was.
I'm surprised. Then I had a top 10 list about things I'm going to do. I'm going to start going around killing people. So
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's going to be good times. It really is, guys. It's going to be great times. But come on, where other than the GG Hour can you get facts, entertainment, laughs, serial killers, horror movies, history? Where else can you get that except the Gorgel Variety Hour? So that's right, guys. You need to come on, give us some shout-outs, let us know what you think of the show. Pass the word on, guys, word of mouth. So definitely myspace.com/Gorgel Show. Definitely check it out, or just go to MySpace and search Gore Girls. You'll find all our stuff. Of course, if you're listening to us, you're on Blog Talk Radio. So pass the word, man. It's Blog Talk Radio.com/GG Show. Check it out. But we'll play that one and then that one. But seriously, guys, we got to go. I am so sorry to say that our hour is up. We love you. We'll bang our helmets into a wall for you guys. I hope you had a great show. It was crazy. We talked about some crazy stuff. I tried to slow it down so you guys got all the facts in, but you didn't want to go crazy. You know, but, guys, this was our birthday extravaganza. So you know what? Happy birthday, Techie Ed.
Happy birthday, Gore Girl.
Woo! And on that note, we will see you next week for another dose of insanity.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday.